TC and Jake.
Have you guys considered becoming the first podcast to do a show on in Antarctica?
I think our prerequisite was you learning how to say it first.
Antarctica. I can't be expected to do this. I just had a Butterfinger.
Did you?
Yeah, it's still thick. I got half of it here. It's a share size, so if you want the second one, you can have it.
It's been a minute, but that used to be my favorite candy.
Yeah, it was my favorite as a kid. And then I felt like they went bad for a while. And I mentioned that on the air once. And Perfect Tommy, Tom Ginsberg, said, "Hey, did you know they've recently been bought? They rejiggered the formula. It's actually perfect now." And I found that to generally be true.
Tommy will come through with the info for you.
He's a helpful guy. There's really no doubt about it.
It's kind of like the reverse of what you always hear about. Can you hear the fan, by the way? Should I turn the fan off?
I don't think I can hear the fan.
Okay.
And I have pretty good... I run a little noise cancellation on every episode. That's my guarantee to the listener.
Okay, yeah. I'm quite warm right now. I just went and threw at Parker's baseball place with James Russell.
That's right. Son of former league pitcher Jeff Russell.
He was also a big league pitcher.
Colorado
Heritage University of Texas, and
I don't mean
probably
the,
had like a decade long career.
I don't mean the down on him, but I think that
he was not a Texas Ranger, though.
That's what I'm trying to highlight.
I think that's I knew that
people here, they love the Rangers.
That's
right. He probably could have played with the Rangers, and it was a choice not to. And if you were trying to get the podcast in other cities, that would be the right choice. But for our listeners, we're talking about that.
I have not worn my Whoop in a few months just because my health and fitness has been so...
I knew something's been off about you.
Thank you. That's right. Yeah. But if I had, I'm pretty sure that would have registered as a 55-minute functional fitness workout.
That's pretty tight. It should be. It's a sport.
I was drenched.
Mm-hmm. Always good.
And right now, it feels as if my arm could fall off.
Then you know that it's working.
It may have fallen off.
No, I can see
it wouldn't
there.
Know.
It's still attached. Going two arm wise. So do you really need all this? I mean, it's good. I support it. I think it's great. For a while, I felt like to... just keep my brain sharp. I need to do a little more getting up, getting around. And so Josh and I, this was years ago, we were talking that he was just going to coach me up on my swing. I was just going to spend a couple hours every couple day, or not hours every couple day, spend a couple hours a week just working on the swing.
On your baseball swing?
Yeah.
Buddy, I've never seen anything worse.
Well, then it needs work.
And only a blind guy could do it?
He's the guy I know that knows the most about swing mechanics that would be willing to spend this much time on such a clearly pointless activity.
Like, I've never experienced anything in my life that gave me more confidence than watching you swing a baseball bat.
Well, that was before Josh and I started our program. So I'm just saying
Dan and Big Jim on the weight loss thing.
As a way of staying active, just kind of keeping your body in tune, I think it's just a good activity. But
I like doing it.
My understanding is that this was so that you're couldn't you have spent 5 minutes and kind of gotten down enough to look all right in front of your kid?
I don't know, man, because as they were telling me today, they were like, man, you... I will say this, first of all, Parker's reaction was not near as bad as I thought it would be.
That's good.
Yeah, but muscle memory-wise, James was like, did you hurt your shoulder?
That's a good question. You always want to hear that.
And I was like, no, it's not.
Is there an injury that can explain this in some way?
It's not so much that I hurt my shoulder. It's just that I've been throwing and shooting this way for so long that it fucking hurt my shoulder.
Yeah.
And it hurt. Like I was telling you last week or whatever, like playing quarterback for 2 years or, you know, shooting free throws for 5, 10 years, whatever it was. It hurt because I was just doing it the wrong way. And he was like, man, you got to like really loosen that up.
I'm blaming this on the judge. I think if he gives your dad a couple more days visitation every week that, you know, who knows what kind of instruction guidance that we could have.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know that my dad had the wisdom to be imparted. And also, I might have been watching way more like train robbery movies.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying is, you know, renting Faces of Death from Blockbuster on the dad weekend. Right. If instead of a dad weekend, there's also like a dad Wednesday sprinkled in. Maybe right. That's when we would have gotten to, because clearly we didn't get to having a catch.
No.
And so then you're just working backwards. No. How could we have maybe made it so we had a catch? More time.
It's possible. But dude, literally my arm feels like it's going to fall off right now.
I mean, that's tight. Doesn't it? I mean, I don't got to tell you. It feels good. Get a little work in. I took a walk around the lake yesterday. I was... Okay. Walking on clouds the rest of the day. Honestly, it makes Uber driving...
Because you went for a walk?
Yeah, it was a long walk.
Okay, yeah. No, I mean... My reaction definitely diminished your physical activity there, but now I'm going to try to say I don't mean to diminish your physical activity.
No, I know that it's not... You know, I'm not like training for the Olympics, taking a walk.
Yeah.
There's definitely something to, and this is, you know, a stance that you consistently held. So I would really kind of expect nothing but pure agreement that physical support. Activity makes you feel better. Just getting out there, being active, doing something. You know, you don't have to go and get ripped. You could just have a nice walk, and it's just gonna kind of put a different perspective on the whole rest of the day, seeing the beauty of White Rock.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a lot of science behind the idea of endorphins.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
I don't think
so. We agree.
We and science and Fauci.
Yeah, everyone.
But this was more just like, that's just not like a muscle that I've used that much. Like even when I was like in really good shape, like let's say a year ago or whatever, like just torquing your elbow and your shoulder in that manner, I don't know, dude. I don't know that there's like weights you can lift that can really like prepare you for that, other than the J band, like just doing that over and over and over and over and over. But you probably just have to like throw a ball.
Yeah. So just do that. Hey, great news! It's fun to do.
It was you know what, it was kind of fun.
Yeah. It's more fun than like just like lifting weights or whatever. Like there's no,
I don't know about that.
Just you can try and aim it, and then you can feel good if you hit the target.
Yeah, but I mean, when it comes to lifting weights, like your aim is just like your rep.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, whatever.
So you're like, okay,
you've done both like, a lot more than me. So I defer to you. If you tell me it's more
I'm
fun.
I'm honestly not sure that I've thrown a baseball that much more than you.
Well, I just mean like within the last month. Lifetime, yeah. I bet I'm ahead. But, you know.
I don't know that you are, but.
I mean, how much baseball did you play as a kid? Did you play organized at all?
3 years.
You played organized baseball for 3 years and you throw like that?
What a fucking dick.
Just saying, you're not doing this because you're good at it. Like we're again in a source of agreement. I don't know, it's probably like 5.
But you never got a hit. I got on base like 30% of the time.
I didn't say I was good at it. I said I've probably thrown a baseball more time. Like not like fucking whipping it, doing great.
No, so my bit was if you put me in the outfield, we're good on the throw.
Yeah, now we're going to need a couple cutoff guys. Really, if we could just line up all eight other fielders.
in a succession.
Yeah. That'd make it easier for me.
No, because for me, it was always just like, if I get out there and I can just like uncork something with my frame, like I could throw the ball as far as anybody. But it probably was going to need a little direction. So, like you and I, whenever our teams would be up 10 or down 10 and they wanted to put you at second base, or you wanted to be at second base rather, that was a difficult throw.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just remember those great game practices, and I feel like you were a hazard to all the gophers and various animals living in the ground.
I also remember being like, how has this person ever held a baseball bat before?
That's okay. I've never claimed anything else. I'm not saying I'm good at it. I'm just saying I've thrown a couple of times.
Let's move on.
have you seen the Big Dick Hunter of the week? Last week we were talking about his involvement with Lamar Odom. This week, have you seen where Big Dick Hunter's popped up?
Was it like on a youth? Just go ahead, actually.
So you may be familiar that prominent rappers Kendrick Lamar and Drake are going back and forth.
Yeah.
And one of the things I don't know. I'm kind of going off half-cocked. But, you know, you don't do the podcast because you're fully ready. You do the podcast because it's time to do the podcast.
That's right.
So Drake is taking shots at Kendrick over an incident that happened in a Las Vegas hotel in 2014. The Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, I believe. And I'd love to know, and I don't know if this information is out there or if this is just something that everyone's wondering about. But what exactly is Drake's level of sourcing on this? You know, where is he getting his information from? If you're looking for the public record about how Kendrick became connected to an incident at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, it's an interview that a lady who worked at the Hard Rock did with, of course, Big Dick Hunter. He is involved in the Kendrick and Drake feud right now.
Why wouldn't he be? That's right.
It is just amazing. Like, I'm sure this is just my ignorance, but like, I don't even know what he's done. Like, from the time he left the ticket, like, was he on Live 105 or something like that? Did he get another radio job? He was, right? Like,
man,
briefly?
That doesn't sound right to me, but, you know, I certainly could be wrong.
Then I guess he's hanging out with Dennis Hoff. You know, that's how he's in Nevada. Yeah.
He went to the same high school that I did, as I've told you many times. Yeah.
But like, I don't even know what his job is or has been. I don't know anything about what he's doing or been up to, but he just pops up a lot.
I think it was like lightly shrouded in like PR.
Yeah. Well, whenever he was the Lamar thing, he was doing PR for the Bunny Ranch, like whenever they needed a press contact to talk to, but I doubt that was like a drawing a salary kind of gig. It's not like they always needed that. It's just whenever Lamar Odom nearly died at their establishment, someone's got to talk to the media.
Yeah, probably right. But, you know, it was super weird to me that he like, did we talk about this last week? Like that he was like Reiner's trainer?
Yeah, I think we did. I do recall that. Yeah. That's how he started the ticket, right?
Yeah.
Like how Steven Seagal was just Michael Ovitz's trainer.
That's or to be honest with you, like not that different from like, I mean, it is a little bit different, but like Carolla just like teaching Jimmy to box.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he just like became a guy and they thought he had something. So that was it.
Yeah, if he got that spark, you know, you might not be like in a traditional thing, but like if someone's there, you know, they see that you got it and like they could, you know, I don't know what kind of ratings the Big Dick Hunter Wild Ass Circus got and didn't continue on forever, but probably they were happy to have him there for some of the time.
Yeah, and I loved it personally.
It was before my listening time, and archives of it were real spotty.
He was also just like a guy who he would talk to the lower employee, junior employees, I suppose, lesser folk, and he was super nice.
That's nice. Yeah, I've never met him, but he had an interview with a lady who alleged that she saw Kendrick Lamar. I think that she's saying she saw the woman that he beat up after someone definitely beat her up. That lady definitely saw a woman whose face had been considerably hurt. And then I think that there's some discussion about whether or not she knew who exactly it was that had done the beating up.
I thought you were like about to play audio.
No, I mean, I could, but it would take me a second
Yeah, it's a weird situation over the last, you know, week to 10 days or whatever, like where the public and the culture has to make a decision about like what thing do we think is the worst?
Yeah, you don't have to, you know, that's what I'd say to you. We could all because, just like, kind of leave this alone.
Well, yeah, I mean, but you know, if you're like the separate the art from the artist or the shut up and dribble type. Although Harrison Butker is certainly testing the bounds on that this weekend.
Making good points mainly.
Yeah. Great points. It does somewhat come down to like which thing do you find more objectionable? Like the idea that somebody like fights with their wife and gets physical with them, or makes 14-year-olds eat out of dog bowls.
Because
like one of them has been around for a lot longer.
Fighting with your wife? You think that people were making them eat dog bowls? Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I bet you're right. Like doing it's not weird like food stuff is a new trade.
Yeah, doing weird stuff to kids is as old as time, I would presume.
But you know what? What's interesting, and like maybe like, you know, neither one of us are really like qualified to speak on this from a cultural standpoint. But if you talk about like, you know, specific communities, and I would even say like this goes for like, it's not just the Black community or the Latino community. I would say it goes to, you know, the older white community. The idea of like, hey, she got lippy. Like people are like, yeah. Oh yeah, okay. So you got a fight with your wife and she tried to punch you and you punched her. Like people accept that. I'm not saying that's right at all. But the idea of like, oh yeah, I actually traffic teenagers.
Yeah, we tend to frown on that.
Although, yeah, you know. So I don't know if that makes sense, but I feel like that's how it's being judged publicly right now, is that, you know, I even saw like a dude that I follow who he'll post like a bunch of like, you know, Dallas restaurants and bars that are Black owned. And he's like, I can see the silence or hear the silence of all y'all just doing nothing in responding to these Kendrick claims.
Yeah, you'll keep seeing that. Yeah. I'm not the fucking cops. What role do I have in this? I mean, I know he didn't mean me.
No. But I think he's saying like, you know, well, everybody's like tweeting or commenting or posting about like these Drake claims of like, oh, what a sicko. And I fucking hate the guy. I think I've been pretty overt about that.
At times.
But then.
Back a good 15 years ago, number one fan.
Number one fan, you say?
I'm sure the tapes are out there of you being like, watch out, this guy's about to dominate. And you were right. I don't know why you don't go around being like, I saw early how good he was, and everything since then has vindicated me.
Okay.
That's a claim that you can make if you wanted to. It's true.
I don't want to make that claim because it's not true.
It's true that you thought he was going to be big, and he's huge. He was the biggest musical artist since then. I mean, you know, T-Swift. But he's up there.
It's true. The Jonas Brothers, whatever it is that they're doing. I'm not totally sure, but
I don't think they're bigger than Drake. I don't think there's any question that they're smaller than Drake.
But my point is just like people are like very much focusing on the salacious claims regarding Drake and not so much the ones regarding Kendrick. Because it's like, all right, I guess just culturally we accept it. Like people get in arguments. And sometimes when people get in arguments, they hit each other.
I mean, I think that it's, I don't know. I'm really not steeped in it. I haven't been paying enough attention. I think a large part of it also is, listen, as a guy who likes Drake a lot and is not disavowing Drake in any way, the Drake, like, And I like Kendrick, but like not as much as everyone else does, and so that occasionally puts me feeling like I have an anti-Kendrick bias. But like even coming from that, I would say that it just seems like everything about Drake is a lot more credible. Like Kendrick presents himself as someone.
What?
Kendrick presents himself like, you know, if he says to you with a straight face like, "Nah, I didn't do that. That's not who I am. That's not how I conduct my business." There's a large part of me that's like, you know, yeah, it sounds right. They're probably lying about him. And I don't think that Drake's trafficking, but like, obviously he's weird. Everyone can tell he's weird. Like there's something about like, you know, the admitted to claims, the thing that we've been focusing on a lot in the last couple weeks of this podcast is whenever there's a dispute, what are the admitted to claims? The admitted to claims are, you know, that he fathered a child and then hit him for years and then, you know, kind of sees him every once in a while. Like, I don't know. All that's like, you know, it's not how I would conduct it. And so I don't know, you know, like just this, if you're saying one of these guys is leading a life that's not really like yours and you wouldn't really recognize it. And it's a morality that's separate from the one that you operate with every day. Don't you think that Kendrick has a more straightforward, traditional morality and like a stronger sense of like what's wrong and what's right? And so like,
yeah, then someone you may saying have misspoke a minute ago.
What did I say? I was trying to say the Drake claims are more credible. Is that not what I said?
How would they be more credible?
Oh, I mean the claims against Drake. Are you saying that? Are you interpreting that the opposite way? I'm sorry. Yeah. Then it sounds like we're back to agreeing.
It's okay.
Yeah, the claims that are against Drake are more credible. Like if you're telling me that Drake's doing weird stuff, I'm like, hell yeah, he's doing weird stuff. Everyone knows that's part of the appeal. And if you're telling me Kendrick's just conducting a normal life where he loves his wife very much, then, you know, that's believable. And so, you know, whenever one person's like, Drake's weird, I'm like, yeah, with you there. And they're like, Kendrick's a wife beater. I'm like, maybe, you know, people surprised me before, but it's not what like strongly comes off to me.
But also like, it you know, it goes back to something I was saying a minute ago, like, I'm not condoning beating your wife, folks.
No.
I'm not condoning beating your husband. But I will say that different cultures and even different, not even cultures, but subsets of culture look at domestic disputes in a way that, you know, I mean, how many times, dude, we both fucking grew up watching Cops.
Yes.
Like how many times would they call, like on a Whiskey Tango Family, they would call Cops and they're like, one of you has to go to jail.
Yeah.
And the woman's like, take me. You know what I mean? Like it would just happen all the time. And I feel like that is a much more culturally accepted idea than the idea of be it trafficking or be it just, you know, weird subversive sexual activity or something like that. I'm not saying that he did it, Kendrick, but it is something that like people seem to just accept, as bad as that is.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't accept it. If he is hitting his wife, I condemn that. But you know, I don't know. I listen to the music of lots of people. Yeah. I listen to lots of people who've done condemnable things in the past. You know, but yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I don't either. I just, it feels like that's what this is boiled down to.
All right. I got something kind of in this vein, but I need to grab some audio. Can I take 2 minutes and we come back?
Of course.
My computer's upstairs. All right. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay. So I was scrolling TikTok. I saw something where, for reasons that will become clear, I immediately said, I got to play this for Jake. And I don't know that it like moves the ball forward or teaches us anything like brand new that we've never heard of before. But I felt like you needed to hear it. So here we go. It's just a woman talking in front of a camera. There's a weird part where her kid's trying to get in and then she like stops it and then like comes back. It's like that. I don't know.
Okay.
It's a whole separate thing. But yeah, anyways, it's a little bit length here and we'll just play it.
At the ripe age of 19 to 20, I live in an apartment with my best friend off of 35th and Troost in Kansas City, Missouri. It's like 3 a.m. and we're watching one of two channels that will play on TV, and it is Maury. And we are high and giggling, and then we hear a knock on the door. So I'm like, let me go see who it is.
It does just sound fun to get high and watch Maury. I think we all agree on that.
Yeah, but you're in Missouri, so.
Yeah, I mean, that makes the Maury pop a little more.
And so I walk over and I look through the peephole, and it is a tall, handsome black guy wearing extremely nice outfit. So I'm like, this is strange. And I open up the door and he just starts kind of blabbering. He's like, hi. He's like, I was asleep in my car from getting too drunk at the club. He's like, but then the police knocked on my window and they're like, hey, you can't sleep here. You either need to go outside or you need to leave. And he had obviously been drinking, so he didn't want to leave in that moment because then he would get pulled over. So he went upstairs and he's like, my girlfriend lives in the store over here, but she is apparently already asleep and she's not answering the door. And I was like, so you want to come in? And he's like, essentially yes. And I'm like, sure.
Essentially.
Okay, so he,
yeah, how does it become essentially?
It's either yes or no.
Yeah. And can you hear the kid?
Is of that course I can. Okay, yeah. Open the door.
Just always, I don't know, you know, like, I don't know, man. There's a lot going on there, right? Like, the lady wants attention. That's why she's on TikTok. And like,
sure.
I would think that in part she wants attention because she was once that child and her mom was too busy doing whatever the equivalent of making TikToks was. It's just a cycle. Listen, you know?
So, as we've detailed on this podcast before, my mom had a lot of brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a lot of kids themselves. I couldn't name for you all the names of my cousins right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're mid-20s. Late, high 20s.
Amazing.
I'm quite positive that I have at least two, if not three to four, female cousins who are doing this exact same thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they do. Why not? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they were pregnant at 17, 18 years old, which it happens. It could have happened to any of us. But I'm almost certain that I have, like, TikTok cousins.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, we do a
podcast.
And
they all have names that you could, like, guess. Like,
yeah.
None of them would surprise you.
Yeah, no,
but to your point, yeah, we do a podcast, so we're all looking for attention. Yeah, yeah.
I understand the urge. I feel strongly myself. I do think that, like, you know, the urge, it's got its gifts, but, like, overall, I don't, you know, it's not like I'm happy that I'd rather not, you know, like, I'd rather just feel like I've been getting enough attention the whole time, and I'm confident that more is coming, and I don't need to do anything weird or, like, attract too much attention. So I'm trying and often failing, but like, You know, I just try to keep this in mind with my kid, you know, like whenever I'm like, you know, looking at my phone or, I mean, whatever, you know, at this point the podcast brings in money. So like, to some extent, if you'd like to keep on receiving toys, then I do need this 2 hours a week to be able to, you know, come over here and do this. But like, you know, I try to be aware which of my actions are making it so that she will feel or not feel like she needs to do daily TikToks in the future. And it's just very funny whenever this woman, you know, her parents, I don't think they passed the test. And and now as a result, she's doing this. And then her kids over there being like, open the door.
Open the door.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that dissimilar from, you know, the thing that I am very aware exists, which is a buddy of mine's ex-wife. Her Instagram presence is really something.
Do you feel like you've learned anything from the tips?
I don't know, because most of them are pretty basic. Most of them are like how to get grout out.
Well, maybe it's not for you.
Maybe it's not.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not, but most of it feels exactly as useless as I found her when I knew her in person.
But yeah, so set that aside. Let's try and focus on the content of the story. The stranger is now inside the apartment.
Okay.
Comes in. We're chatting. It's very friendly. He's thirsty. We don't have anything to drink. We run down the street to the gas station. We come back.
Wait, what?
That's classic American hospitality, dude.
So, obviously, there's a child involved.
Wait, not then.
I thought the kid was in the house.
No, she's saying...
Oh, the kid's just in the house whenever she's filming the video. Okay.
Yeah, this was years
ago. So, she was solo when... Okay.
It was just her and her... She was 19. She did not have a child. She was living in the apartment with her friend.
He said, I'm thirsty. And she said, let's go to the gas station.
Yeah, let's do a gas station run. We'll solve that one. No big.
Yeah. Yeah.
His Bentley parked in the bus lane right in front of our apartment. I'm like, And then we go upstairs, chatting it up. He's showing us pictures. And then he's like, hey, like, love chatting with you girls, but I got an important meeting in the morning, and if I miss it, I'm going to get a $10,000 fine. And I'm like, What exactly is it that you do? And he's like, oh, I'm just a Chiefs player. And I'm like... Okay, you know, and so, okay, so he goes to bed, sleeps on the couch. Me and my friend go to my room, have a little sleepover, just, you know, and I set my alarm. I wake him up in the morning. He is very appreciative. He's very nice. He thanks me like 50 times. And then he gives me his phone number and he's like, oh, by the way, he's like, if you receive a mysterious Christmas present, like that's from me. And I'm just like, okay, like no big deal. Like have a good day. Don't miss your meeting. And practice. And he leaves. I go back to bed. And then we wake up 4 or 5 hours later and my friend gets on her phone and she's like, holy shit. She's like, have you seen this? Have you seen that a Chiefs player like went to the stadium after killing his girlfriend and then killed himself? And I was like,
I fucking knew
it. That's way too big of a coincidence. And she's like, wait, let's Google and see which Chiefs player it was. So she Googles it.
Which
and
one is
sure
it?
The fuck not. It is the same Chiefs player that came to our apartment a
I
few hours, that just left a few hours ago.
I fucking knew it.
I you know, I certainly remember the Javon Belcher incident, but I didn't recall the details. So I went back and read like a Deadspin summary of like the police reports and stuff. And it all checks out. This is all in the initial reporting that he was trying to go see someone who was not his the mother of his child.
Mother of his child, yeah.
But couldn't get in there. And, you know, the cops did tell him, like, you can't just sleep out here. And if he tries to drive away, they're going to hit him with a DUI. So, yeah, I think there's even something in the Deadspin of, like, you know, it wasn't his girlfriend's place, but he just got someone else to let him in. And now that lady has a kid and but would rather spend the time on TikTok. And so here we are. It was just
I have so many thoughts.
The experience of going through like random stuff and I'm like, all right, it's another lady telling you. There's 20 times a day where some white lady wants to tell me a story. And, you know, most of them I'm like, I feel like I'm trying to train the algorithm not to send. I want to see people skydiving and shit, you know, like fucking right. snow yeah. leopards.
Drone fight. Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Komodo dragon.
But, you know, they're sending me a lot of white ladies with stories. And so every once in a while I'll be like, all right, white lady, what's your story? And for her to get to the end of the story and be like, I woke Javon Belcher up on the morning that he shot himself in front of Chiefs GM Scott Pioli.
Yeah, yeah. Former Patriots front office executive.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I just want to wind it back to the idea of like her and her friend just went and had a sleepover.
Yeah, it sounds like a great environment. Generally. Yeah,
very weird. Very, very
they're
weird.
Having the best time of their life. They're so close.
And then the fact that she had to, I mean, she essentially like triggered the murder by
I don't think that's true.
Waking him up and then he's like saying thank you 50 times.
I don't think she ever got that Christmas present.
And like, how weird is that? Like, if you get a mysterious Christmas present. Like, if I said that to you, who's like one of my closest personal friends, you'd be like, what the fuck does that mean?
I'd say 911, I have something to report.
But if a guy who just shows up in front of your house is like, you're going to get a mysterious Christmas present.
I mean, he's just saying like, I got you, you know, like I appreciate this. And it's not just I appreciate it. I'm also going to buy you a watch.
Yeah, and look, far be it for me to be too critical as the guy who let the drifter stay at my house in San Marcos. But, I mean, what are we doing here?
I think that probably the fact that he's well-dressed is helping, right?
And I, you know what? I'd love to know what that even means.
You know, he'd been out clubbing. He was wearing clubbing stuff.
Okay.
I just... There is a certain, like, you know, we all take cues, like, you know, the more poorly someone's dressed, the more likely danger. Like, if it had been a homeless person, I don't think that she would have let him in.
Probably not, but I don't know.
And this is at the other end of the spectrum. Not only is he not homeless, it looks like he has no incentive to rob you because he's got a Bentley down there and he's fine.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's, like, one of the weirdest stories I've ever heard. And that was before... you told me this because before you told me this, the Javon Belcher story was one of the weirdest stories I'd ever heard.
Yes, yes, yes. I did some, like, you know, just trying to read more and remind myself of the details. I think it was Jeff Perlman wrote something for Bleacher Report. And it's definitely like trying to work backwards from conclusions and find whatever evidence they can to support the conclusions they've already made. But, you know, whatever you are, like, I guess the big thing that's happening here is it's a really weird story. There's a lot of people that get upset about various things, and very few of them shoot themselves in front of their boss. And so,
because he called him to come down there, right?
He encountered Pioli in the parking lot, talked to him for a while, and was like, "Get Coach Cornell." Get Gary Gibbs down here.
Okay, that's what I'm remembering. Yeah.
And then with all three of them there, is like he like hears sirens approaching. And he's like, gotta do this, do the sign of the cross. Yeah. And then and so, you know, like it's very threatening to us that like we live in a world where things like that exist. And the way to relieve the threat is to explain it, because then you can know what things are leading up to something like that. And as long as you're not seeing those things, you're not worried and you're fine. But like, that's all a bit of a cope. And the world is just more weird than we're going to accept it being. And so like, you know, these attempts for like, hey, I need Jeff Perlman to explain this to me. Like, it's just going to be incomplete. And like, you're going to want to be a complete. You're going to want for it to be complete. So you're going to just kind of, you know, rush through some of the details and just be like, oh, good, finally an explanation. So I know this doesn't threaten me.
Sure.
So a lot of that's going on. The biggest thing about why Javon Belcher did it is I don't know and I'll never know. But the stuff that they're building the case about like brain injuries, I don't know. It's somewhat compelling. It's all like after the fact stuff, you know, like it's not like he was complaining of head injuries prior, but it's a lot of stuff of like talking to his friends and they were like, yeah, dude, his head got fucked up a lot and he didn't feel like he could tell anyone. He didn't think, you know, like that year he was being criticized a lot for missing plays and felt pretty certain that he was on the edge of being cut. And then his life gets a lot worse, and missing games due to injury is only going to do one thing is in terms of what direction that's sending him. And is it going to make him more secure or less secure? It's going to make him less secure. So he's getting concussions left and right and just popping back up and doing whatever he needs to do. And that he received one like a week before. It was just like, you know, really fucking bad. And at that point, like whenever you hear this stuff about like people in heavy concussion, like, yeah, if they wig out and think that they need to kill the mother of their child and murder themselves and commit suicide in front of their boss, like, I don't, you know, like it's whatever you hear about how people are in that situation, it's just very weird. It's like they're, you know, they're in a fog. They're not there. They can't recall basic things. They can't follow the things you're saying. Like, how long would you be able to live life like that before you got pretty fucking frustrated?
Well, I mean, I think that's what's confusing about it is that most of the professions that are prone to head injuries are also prone to attracting people who have at times irrational behavior.
Yeah.
And so whether it's the military, whether it's, you know, pro sports, the most violent of the pro sports, that's where it becomes tough to tease out, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, all right, well, I'm already like a violent person. Yeah, you could probably say this about like law enforcement. Yeah. To an extent, although that's probably a less dangerous job. But that's where it's, you know, it's tough to tease out the idea of like, okay, is this just a person who ended up in this profession because they were already somebody who was willing to put their brain and body on the line, and that job resulted in their brain and body being fouled up, or did it happen because of their job? So, yeah, I mean, look, you know, he probably wouldn't want me saying this, but I've thought about this with my brother like a lot. You know, my brother's had countless concussions, countless. And he probably would be the first to tell you that he has a pretty cavalier attitude towards life. But I remember him being that way when we were like four.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean is like,
yeah,
I don't really know like how to tease out, you know, the cause and effect or the causal relationship of it, because I mean, dude, when we were little kids, he was like, I will fucking do anything. I don't care. Like if it needs to be done or if it's fun or whatever, he would just do it. And then he ended up a guy with a lot of concussions. So
I do think that, you know, I mean, I want to remove this from the conversation about your brother for sure. But like the, you know, being a guy who's comfortable with risk in a way that you're happy to play middle linebacker in the NFL. I don't think that necessarily like the getting the concussions is part of the reckless behavior. But I think you kind of. I don't know. I don't think that he would have done what he did without the concussions. And that I don't really have like a scientific or like firm grounding to say that. I'm just saying, yeah, like that's my gut feeling. I don't think he does that without it. And you're talking about the concussions leading to amazing violence. And I don't know that like I don't think that the amazing violence. I mean, like, obviously that has to, like, you know, I don't. Like, that's just not how I react whenever things happen. Like, there's never really a feeling in me that I want to hit people. Like, I definitely want to yell, and, you know, I'll yell. And, like, that's not good. No one likes it. But, like, that's just where my feelings get channeled. I forget why I started talking about myself. I guess you could give me as many concussions as you want, and I don't think that I would, you know, like, be violent right. like that.
Yeah, I would have probably problems. It's probably like a confluence of nature nurture that's very tough to tease out. But, you know, I think back to, you know, there was a Chuck Klosterman essay probably 10 years ago now. I think it was from Eating the Dinosaur, where he's like, for the rest of your life, you know, you're going to be watching the Super Bowl on Sunday. And at some point during the lead up in that, they're going to do a story about how dangerous this game is for people and how it's ruining people's lives and how it's like, we have like actual hard data science on these brain injuries. And then it will be the highest rated thing anybody watches that year. So when it comes to like, what is the answer for it? It doesn't seem like we have one because I mean, you and I are planning a football trip this fall.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe this is just, again, like
But you know what I've said forever, right? Make the fucking field bigger.
You could make the field bigger.
Make the field bigger. Widen and lengthen the field.
I can see how, like, the incentives that I was talking about before would make it so that, like, I would want to believe this without, like, too much evidence. And I don't know that I have, you know, I'm not studying the fucking rates or whatever, so... definitely in danger of that, but I feel like they are getting a lot better. I think that the rates of concussions
as far
are going
as safety
down. Yeah. I think that they're doing their best and that it's having some effects.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people look at like the special teams changes and think it's performative. It's not.
No, it's liability.
It's absolutely not.
Yeah,
and like
they don't want to lose.
Well, liability
money.
For sure. But like like 2 days after that new plan was announced, we had a guy who listens to the Dumb Zone in the Den. He was like, "This is going to. I mean, it's obviously going to be a problem once it filters down to lower levels from a strategy standpoint. But this is going to greatly, greatly reduce, like." High impact, high speed collisions.
Yeah. And like
that's a guy who does that for a job.
That kind of stuff, you know, like player safety things. I don't know. That stuff like really threatens, you know, I don't remember if this was on a podcast or whenever I was hanging out with him. I think it was on a podcast. But Ben Muth was making the point, and, you know, this is all moot now because the Pac-12 no longer exists. But he was frustrated. The standing of the conference had fallen in part, in his estimation, because play in the trench. Like, it's been a while since you've had Pac-12 teams that were consistently amazing in the trenches. And that's the kind of thing where, like, you know, if your mom is telling you that you can't play football because she saw all these bad stories about it, like, you know, it's just if you're coming up in California and like they don't have
Washington or
tackle
Oregon.
Football for kids of a certain age, like what, you know, that's a definite change in the way that the game is being taught and developed. And what effect is that going to have? Are there certain positions that you're going to be at a disadvantage against in the rest of the country? And then whenever you think about that in a bigger picture sense, like what athletes are the NFL going to be missing out on in general? Because the PR around the sport has gotten so bad. And that is the kind of thing that existentially threatens what they're doing. And so, yeah, change whatever fucking rules you got to change to make it so that the moms of five stars are fine with them playing football as, you know, for as long as they can.
Well, it's not just the moms of five stars. It's the moms of five stars who are not, like, economically disadvantaged.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know. You could even see, I could see economically disadvantaged moms still being like, not my fucking kid. All that shit that I just saw.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't want him to shoot himself in front of his boss later.
Yeah, I don't know if it penetrates culturally as much as it probably should. But, you know, we've had this conversation about my son because when he had his head surgery, you know, they said something to us about like, maybe football, it might be off the table, like long term.
Oh, yeah.
And my wife was like, well, I would have never wanted him to do that anyways. And I'm like, whoa.
Time out.
Hold the phone.
Yeah.
But like when I was a kid, dude, it's funny too, because my mom sent me a couple videos the other day, like from some family videos that she had uploaded in iCloud. And dude, like my brother and I are putting on pads at 4 and 5 years old.
That's fucking nuts, dude.
And it did, but I mean, the collisions are so low impact.
Yeah, how fast could like, a four-year-old be going?
You're not ever really hurting. It's basically flag football with pads on.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't mean to make it sound like we were like blowing each other up in first grade or anything like that, but.
Yeah,
like
no, that was a time whenever my parents didn't have us playing football, but we would go out in the green space.
Yeah, next just to one tackle of our friends the shit and, out of yeah. each other with no pads on.
Yes, yes, yeah. every day.
And you just never thought about it.
So the pads were probably a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I don't think my mom was like reckless with our security or anything
no.
or our health, but.
And I don't
know. Definitely this, did not have a problem with the idea of us playing tackle full contact football in kindergarten and first grade.
There just is something like whatever you think about like what football is and like what like bare bones what you're doing, it's just all the stuff that they told you you absolutely could not do in recess. Like everything that you wanted to do.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Like so that's the thing that the moms are just never going to get is how much young boys want to fucking knock each other's block off. And there's one yes. time that everyone's like, yeah, dude, fucking cream him. And
dude, you know what's crazy best. About it is that in like 30% of the country, they let you do it with knives on your feet.
What does that mean? The cleats?
They let you just ice hockey.
Oh shit. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, all right, what if we surprising. Put a razor on your foot?
Yeah. Then we could really get them going fast.
Yeah. And it's just like, okay, well, we let them do that. So I don't know. I don't have like a great solution for this. I probably would watch pro flag football.
Yeah.
If it came down to that.
I'd be happy to. I got no problem with that.
Yeah.
Like if we're all doing it, you know, like so much of this stuff is
water cooler.
Yeah. 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 And yeah. so it, as long as there's a sport that we're all agreeing that we're going to watch together and ever, no one's going to think that
get
I'm
happy
weird.
About, get mad about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. As long as we got that, I don't really care what it is. I'll watch it with you guys.
Maybe you'll do a Twitch stream.
Maybe I will. Maybe I will. Well, cool, man. I hope you have a great week. Yeah, I guess we can figure it out when we're doing Patreon. Don't have those plans set yet. So watch this space. We'll see you later, folks.
Okay, we'll talk soon.
That's it for tonight. The high school special is next, so until tomorrow, for everyone who's been a part of this one,
I'm TC and Jake.
We do thank you for watching. Good night.